This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 3rd of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bowen. Today I'm joined by critic and curator Francesca Gavin, who has a trio of summer art goodies for you to take a note of. Take a note of, possibly, before you go off on your travels. We'll begin in Europe, firstly at Amberca P3 here in London for a major multimedia project called Alien Sex Club. And then we'll nip over to Italy for Maurizio Cattelan's Saluti da Rimini, a series of giant postcards located around the city. And after that, we'll end up in New York City, where Hannah Lydon's bagel-shaped totem poles are currently towering in Hudson River Park. That's all coming up here on The Arts Review on Monocle 24. Francesca Gavin, welcome as ever to the Arts Review. You have an interesting bag of tricks up your sleeve. Should we mix some more metaphors during the next 15 minutes?
Yes, tons of metaphors mixed together.
Metaphors,
please.
All over the place. It's nice. Before we get on to the fantastically named Alien Sex Club, and this is not a loaded question. These two questions are not related.
Okay.
How the devil are you?
I'm very, very well.
Fantastic. You've been all over the place.
I have. I've been doing a big curation job in Berlin, and I'm about to go out to Copenhagen in 2 weeks for CHART, the art fair over there that I'm doing the performance program and a video program and a print program and enjoying the glories of Copenhagen.
What kind of pair of shoes do you need in order to do all these things at high velocity? Do you have a specific kind of shoe?
I'm a shoe in a bag kind of girl.
Okay.
So in the same way you have clutch bags in your... I have day-to-night outfits.
It involves
a lot of black.
Okay, so it's just like one layer on, one layer off, and you're ready to rock.
You got it.
Should we talk about the Alien Sex Club?
Let's. So basically, it's August in the art world, which is art no man's land. You either get blockbuster shows or you get really strange, fun things. So I've brought you three hilarious, weird, fun things.
I've loved doing some image research for this.
Yes, it's hilarious. Yeah. So Alien Sex Club, the name is a metaphor take on a very famous goth band, according to my artist friend Scott Trelevin, who I just went and saw the show with. It is basically a crazy, weird installation that fuses drawings and digital kind of animation and weird sheds and performance work. And it's kind of fluoro meets naivety meets cardboard. And it's all about our relationship to AIDS, but
in a brilliant way.
And
in a really witty, kind of not a big black, the big grey tombstone that scared people in the 80s, this is taking it to some phenomenal extra dimension.
Well, it's really interesting because it's a subject that was obviously hugely important, particularly in the 80s and the 90s in contemporary art, and then kind of in contemporary culture. And then it's really disappeared from the conversation. And I think this show does a brilliant job of making a really fun, very, very British kind of mental trance rave combination look at what our relationship to that is. I mean, they have like a pop-up, they have doctors there where you can have really fast HIV tests within the context of also having, I had a tarot card read, one of my tarot cards was chlamydia. This kind of it was hilarious. It's kind of witty and funny and makes it seem something that you can learn about in a really accessible way, but also is a valid artwork in its own sense.
I mean, this is Amberca P3, which is around the corner from our studios here at Monocle. And I love that space. It often gets used. I often trek down there during Freeze Week, I suppose.
For the Sunday art fair.
Yeah, it's when the Sunday art fair's on. And it's a really nice space. Walking down there, it's sort of, you can do lots of different things with that space. This show seems like it's a bit of a journey. You go through weird tunnels and it's called a cruising maze.
Yeah, it's basically like a cardboard version of dark rooms.
Okay.
So it's
like the Crystal Maze, but with a strange kind of sexual ethic.
It's not like going to Berghain and disappearing.
Sounds a bit like it might be.
Yeah, but it's much more like kind of playful. It is quite Crystal Maze out of cardboard directed, like covered in like fluoro bubbles. Kind of, it's very playful, and it's kind of got that kind of British DIY children's television vibe about it.
Oh, really? Yes, it does seem a bit like that. It seems a bit chock-a-block.
Yeah, very much so.
A bit like a really strange, eerie version of the test card.
Yeah.
Or maybe a very witty version of it.
Quite an early 90s version of it.
Yeah. So John Walter is the artist, and it seems like one of those things. Do you get the idea that when you're walking through it, that there is one artist's imagination at work? Because it seems, just from what I've read around it, that it feels like a sort of group show. show of stuff.
You really feel, even though there are collaborative performance elements in particular, you really feel like it's a certain, a specific artist's aesthetic, if nothing else, because he's very much into exploring a repetition of these kind of fluoro colours, these kind of blobby, almost virus-shaped characters.
Yeah.
It's very much like a certain person's point of view, but it feels like something much more conversational in that sense. But you really feel like it's one person gone wild being given a strange space under a car park.
So this is site-specific stuff. This is all made for this, and it will maybe trot around the world somewhere else, possibly in some other sort of form.
There's some very funny additions that you can get, including sort of these foam marrows with little tea cozies on them.
Did you get anything to get a marrow tea cosy?
Yes, I haven't got space for a marrow tea cosy myself, but it's beautiful.
Neither literally nor metaphorically has Francesco Gavin got space for a marrow tea cosy. I want to talk to you about one of his works, which is called Strange Positioning, 2014 by John Walter. It's the image there at the top. To paint a picture for our listeners, it's a bit like, If people might at home want to Google Harrison Ford's Halloween costume from a couple of years ago, he went as a pod of peas, as a human pod of peas. And it looks a bit like that, a strange one. But also he's playing with AIDS and with the virus and the whole rest of it.
Yeah, it was a big kind of cushiony thing with different multicolored, you know, the baubles you get on top of Christmas, of like winter woolly hats?
Yeah.
It was that, but in like a cushion form as a take on our relationship to the medical and science, which I think is so wacky and out there. And listen, technically, this is not the most sophisticated show you'll go see, but it's definitely fresh and it's definitely feeling like a certain person's voice. And if nothing else, just alone for getting people to, A, feel comfortable taking an HIV test, not in a clinic environment, or even have the discussion about that, I think it's really positive.
And is it a kind of, is it a hands-on show? I mean, are people kind of being invited to touch things, brush past things, squeeze the bubbles on the...
Well, I had my tarot cards read. There's a bar there where you can have gin and tonics while you watch things. It's not too touchy. It's not as like you're feeling your way through our weird sex maze.
Right.
But it feels tactile without being touchy there.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
I like it. That was Alien Sex Club. The artist is John Walter. The venue is Amberka P3 on the Marylebone Road in London. And that is on until the 14th of August. We're going to move along. Where are we moving to now? We're going to Rimini in Italy. This is Maurizio Catalan and Pierpaolo Ferrari. And they're riffing on work they did for their toilet paper magazine.
Yeah, it's really interesting, their toilet paper project. Personally, again, the aesthetic is certain people's taste. It may not be mine. It's very 80s looking. It's very trashy. Rimini is quite a trashy party place within Italy as a tourist resort. And I think it's a perfect combination. What makes toilet paper so interesting is they no longer want to remotely be seen as something working within art and museum spaces. They very, very much want to be positioned within a commercial context. So this project does that perfectly by taking toilet paper imagery, which is quite wild and funny, and putting it on billboards all over Italian tourist resort, kind of turning the city into a big exhibition space.
It's a fantastic idea. A lot of people might have said the best Italian contemporary art of the 70s was Campari posters. And this is kind of riffing on that kind of camp, mega, kind of colour bleached, sort of, please come to Italy and spend all your money and there'll be sun, sand and maybe sex.
Yes.
If the Pope says it's okay.
Yes, but with a kind of like, with a whoopee cushion involved.
Yeah, it is.
It's
like Carry On doing kind of the Italian sort of Riviera kind of stuff, isn't
it? Yeah, sort of, or mixed with an idea of what Colours from Benetton as a magazine could be, but kind of a trash version of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really specific aesthetic and they've done collaborations with Kenzo notably. And I think they're looking to do other collaborations with brands. But this is kind of a collaboration with Rimini as a brand, if that makes sense.
It's an interesting idea. Rimini have obviously taken them on, you know, they've taken them on board and kind of decided to take a risk with this. This is the first time presumably artists have worked in advertising, artists have dressed shop windows, artists have done all sorts of things that are not paintings that hang in galleries. How far down the road is this? I mean, is this a kind of convincing artwork or is it just a funny kind of splash of colour and a bit of verve that you wouldn't otherwise
see? Well, I mean, it's very Italian. I'll say it that way. I mean, Maurizio Catalan's work has increasingly become kind of wild and his work is. It's quite playful. It's funny. It's in your face. It kind of totally tweaks Italians' image of themselves. And I think this is a really good extension of what he does, mixed with the Pierpaolo Ferrari's more photographic take on what they do. So, I mean, it's collaborative. It's not purely the Catalan vibe, but I'm sure it will attract some people who wouldn't be going to Rimini because Rimini's not like, how can I phrase this? It's not the Hotel Pelicano. It's like a trashier.
It's not 40
place,
Demami, is it?
You know, but I think that's kind of wonderful. I like the idea of how populous that is as a location. So I would imagine within somewhere like Rimini, the work's going to be really embraced as kind of a fun version of what art can be. And it's the places where these billboards are really random. They're on like triumphal arc public sculptures, okay, and then on buildings that are like scaffolded and still being made, and then like a street poster campaign as well. So it's very kind of it's an interesting play on what a city can be.
I love the fact that I love billboard sized anything. I mean, that's fantastic. I love the fact that, you know, these strange images, a man hanging a rock from the tassels of his boxer shorts or his swimming trunks,
yes,
a car, like a very old sort of first series BMW from the early 1970s, covered in kind of like discarded cans of Coke, of whatever, of beer and all the rest of it. It looks like a sort of like a big kind of football hooligan crowd have passed straight through, stolen everything from the car and left their beer cans on it. There's some august risk taking.
Yeah, and it's colourful with a big C. This is like the strongest orange, the brightest blue, yeah, the serious yellow. It's in your face colour alone, which I think suits Rimini as a space and its kind of its aging seaside vibe.
I would happily go on holiday and lap that stuff up. I like it.
It makes me want to go to Rimini, and I haven't wanted to.
Okay, grazie mille, Maurizio Cattelan and Pierpaolo Ferrari. And that is all over the place. That show, those posters and all the rest of it are curated by Maria Cristina Didero. And that ran from the July the 1st until September the 30th. Book your ticket to Rimini. Be wowed.
Mm-hmm.
Get tacky,
mm-hmm,
says Francesca Gavin. Why not? We're going to end up in New York City, where I know we saved the best for last, but we've saved the biggest bagels for last. This is Hannah Lydon, who's an interesting artist.
Yeah.
Fill our listeners in on Hannah's work, because she does all sorts of things as well.
Well, Hannah really emerged part of that whole Dashno, Ryan McGinley period of New York's like enfant terrible, Lower East Side crowd. She was very cool. A lot of her work was quite gothic. She did a lot of film pieces, a lot of performance work. She's originally Swedish, and she studied at Parsons and stayed there. And this work, in contrast with the Art Production Fund, is hilarious, but it's very much of an outsider's view of what defines New York, which is the bagel.
Right. Okay. And so these are writ large, not across the city, but in certain parts of the
Yeah,
city.
I think they're quite downtown, so it's like 9th okay. Street, 6th Avenue, they're kind of towards Greenwich Village,
yeah,
vibe.
Yeah.
And they're made out of foam with urethane. There's also a lovely addition you can get of bronze cast bagels if you'd like to have a bagel at home. The bagels are a variety. They have the sesame ones, poppy seed versions, plain bagels.
Where do you sit on that fence? Because there is such a thing as an onion bagel, which is an abuse of God's own breadstuff.
I mean, how do I feel about it? Personally, I really do quite like the darker cinnamon raisin bagels.
I do as well.
They're very tasty toasted with butter.
Honey on.
But, you know, I do like I like a classic bagel with smoked salmon and cream cheese.
You're listening to the Dough Review with Francesca Gavin. I'm Robert Bounds. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about whether it's brown for main course and white for pudding.
Well, what an amazing summer exhibition to have in New York. Bagels.
Yeah,
giant,
right,
huge, supersized with a big fake tulip stuck in the middle bagels.
This is highly camp. It's kind of, it's amusing. I wonder what, if there is a hidden depth, a hidden artistic depth to this, or whether we were just meant to sort of, this seems to be eminently Instagrammable art.
It is, right? And but also, let's be honest, we've seen a lot of really ugly public art projects turn up around the world. Bears, cows, eggs. I don't even want to talk about them, which are painted and revolting. At least this piece strongly relates to the city where it's from. And I hope they actually try to keep something like this permanent. The idea of visiting New York's bagel as opposed to the Big Apple feels really kind of nice. Also, it says a lot about the ideas of New York and immigration and its Jewish identity. I think that's kind of fabulous, because when you do think of cities around the world, you do relate to them through their food. You think of pizza in Naples, you think of baguettes and croissants in Paris.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a natural relationship.
I think people have become very scared of cliche.
Mm.
I don't mind, you know, embracing it with open arms, actually. I also like the fact that these huge bagels, in Hudson River Park, they're not perfect. They don't look like a kind of the hamburger that you'd have on the top of a kind of old school hamburger restaurant. You know what I mean? A polyurethane huge hamburger.
Yes.
They're burnt. They're not quite leavened properly. I mean, you know, they're kind of they're a good bagel. They're an honest An honest, huge bagel.
Maybe a little bit imperfect bagel, yeah. and that's quite real.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little bit about what New York is now. It's not a perfect bagel.
It's not. It's not a perfect bagel, kids.
It's a little bit rough around the edges still, even with everything.
I like that. Hannah Lydon presumably will be moving to Tokyo and doing big old sumo wrestlers soon and all the rest of it. Let's embrace the cliche.
I think she might be staying in New York only because she has, and she's very, very much like a New Yorker, a new New Yorker.
And how far, I know her work a little bit, this is quite a departure from her, isn't it?
I was quite shocked.
As you said, her work's quite gothic, and that set of Lower East Side artists, quite serious-minded, not afraid to be serious. This stuff is just, amusing, kind of nice to look at. Mm. We're talking about it and having a laugh about it. I wonder if it's collectible. I wonder where this stuff ends up. Is this museum-worthy stuff?
I wouldn't be surprised if a permanent version of the bagel, but there is, as I said, an edition of smaller, keep-at-home bronze bagels. And I looked at them and I thought, there's something kind of wonderful about having your tray and having art inserted into your daily experience.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that there is kind of a permanence that could come out of it. But it's very interesting, that whole period of artists from about 10, 15 years ago are having a revival again. So Agathe Snow recently had shows again after you not hearing from them for about 10 years. A lot of people disappeared when Dash Snow died. I think a lot of that wave of artists became less relevant. We've seen a huge rise of much more commercialized, less sort of naughty artwork.
Yeah.
So I think even though this is very different aesthetically from the work she's done in the past, it still has that kind of tongue-in-cheek, comedy about it, making fun of our expectations that I think a lot of the more gothic video pieces did.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. We're both looking at this picture of a huge bagel or a stack of bagels.
Five bagels.
With the New York skyline behind it or the New Jersey skyline behind it. And it's making us both smile.
Mm.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with art that makes you smile.
And you can get a taste of Hannah Lydon's bagel action until the 20th of September in New York City. That brings us to the end of today's show. My thanks to Francesca Gavin for joining me once again in the studio to talk all good things art. The Alien Sex Club.
Mm.
To bagels. We've run the gamut.
It's the most playful selection of shows that you're ever going to hear, I think, on this exhibition.
I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. It's good. It's good. We're not in the silly season. We're in the fresh season.
It's a little silly.
I like it. You've been tuned in to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. My researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for a music review with Nick Luscombe. But for the time being, for me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.